This is Twit.
Want to talk base camp?
Yes. What was this? All I saw was the headline. Fun names. What was that all about? Fun names.
So there was a reckoning at base camp where they had been keeping a list of fun names, and they're evidently, I guess, offensive enough that people wouldn't even tell anybody what they were.
So first, explain what base camp is.
You better explain that.
So I'm actually fairly familiar with it because the guys who founded it, Jason Fried and David Hennemeyer Hansen, are really great guys, very smart. They created, I think, some of the earliest Web 2.0 software. There's software as a service, you know, that was running off the web. DHH wrote Ruby on Rails, who's very well known for that. And Jason Fried has written a number of books, including Rework, which he wrote about 10 years ago, about, you know, doing innovative new companies for the 21st century, things like that. It was originally called 37 Signals. You might remember it as 37 Signals. They renamed it after their biggest product, which is called Basecamp. Basecamp is basically a web-based project management system. A lot of companies use it, very popular. So these are people who created accounts on Basecamp. They, by the way, Basecamp had a very generous free trial, so probably a lot of these are free trial. So apparently some of the names were kind of like the names you'd hear Bart Simpson prank Mo the bartender with on The Simpsons, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking for a hug and kiss. Amanda hug Amanda. And kiss. I'm looking for Amanda hug and kiss. Get it? Mm-hmm. Or Seymour Butts. Is there a...
IP freely.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you know. So they,
but some also evidently made fun of thus other cultures.
They were racist.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, let's back up for a second here. So what we see first is the founders of Basecamp, the bosses, saying new rules. A few points. One, there'll be no more societal and political discussions at our company on Basecamp account, period. Number two, no more paternalistic benefits. We're not going to nudge you. We're going to give you a raise to make up for it. You're not getting anything like that. Number three, no more committees, period. None. Number four,
and I
no
should point
lingering
out that,
or dwelling.
Again, Fried is a thought leader in new ways of working.
That's his shtick.
He's famous for that.
Shtick.
So this has an even, it might be a shtick. It is even more, and again, I've interviewed Jason and David both on our shows on Triangulation especially, and I have a lot of respect for them. But go ahead.
So, real quick list, no more lingering or dwelling on past decisions. No more 360 reviews. Yay. No forgetting what we do here. All right. So it was kind of, it was a very Jason Fried kind of, this is the way we work and I'm going to change the world and that.
Yeah.
Well, Casey Newton did some really, really good reporting on this.
And this is on his, by the way, brand new platformer. Casey.
Yes.
Left, was it Vox or The Verge? I can't remember. To go solo, to become, as Stacey would say, a sovereign writer.
Sovereign writer.
Sovereign.
If you want to be a Casey Newton, if you want to be a Casey Newton, then DM me so you can come and hear Stacey and Andrew explain how you
there you
be
go. Be the next like Casey Newton. Yes,
you could be. So turns out, this is to the point now of this list, that this list resurfaced and there was a diversity committee and there
nobody
was
would
discussion.
Talk about these names, by the way. Nobody knows what the
they
names
were.
Bad. They were so bad, nobody would even utter them.
wow. So what turns out was there were employees who were trying to have, as many organizations, including my own right now, are trying to have right now, is a racial reckoning and trying to have the proverbial difficult conversations everybody says they're going to have and don't have. And they were having discussions on the internal tools and they had a committee about this kind of stuff and people were very interested and then boom, stops because of that note saying, oh, we have new ways to operate here. No politics. Now, to me, to say that a company isn't political is like people saying that technology is neutral. It's not. Companies are political. What you choose to do as a company, what you choose to do there is political by its nature. You need to be able to discuss these things, especially today in America. You've got to be able to discuss race. Is it political? Yeah. And it's also core to the society and where we are and how we reckon with it. So Casey did, I think, really good reporting with current and former unnamed employees, anonymous sources, going through this and comparing it to Coinbase, where the same kind of thing happened. They banned internal political discussions. Well, when that happens, it's probably because they don't want uncomfortable conversations. Mm-hmm. And so what this comes out is, it looks like, oh, this is the really cool company getting rid of 360 review and committees are so boring. And yeah, politics gets people in trouble. So let's not do that. Well, actually, said Casey, it may be that they are trying to steamroll over the problems that they should be dealing with. So I found this to be just a fascinating 1-2 punch. I read the Basecamp post first thinking, okay, more from Jason. Yeah. And then to get the backstory from Casey was really good work.
Is it the backstory or is it just Casey's? I disagree with you. It looks more like Casey's gloss on it without actually any direct experience.
Well, Casey interviewed a lot of employees.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how Casey didn't work there.
Talking about quitting.
Okay.
I mean, but so I think the issue there's, and this is tough. This is worth talking about simply because it's tough and it's common in, you know, in many organizations, it's how democratic can a company be?
Well, we know this one isn't. It is not a democracy here at Twig. We know that.
Maybe that's why I'm sympathetic.
Leo's banning GIFs on his internal Slack.
Maybe that's why I'm sympathetic to Jason. His thought might be, you know what? This is an internal, I don't know if it wasn't Slack. It's Slack-like. It's Basecamp. But this is an internal this place we're here to conduct business.
Get work done.
This is not for.
But if you have a racist experience at work, that part of the business, that's what you got to call.
Absolutely. Well, but should it be discussed at Basecamp or should you go to HR and say that dick is a racist? I mean,
well, so when it's your company culture, I mean, if the company culture is to have a set of basically a racist meme, let's just call the list a racist meme that people have been contributing to for years. And you're like, hey, this isn't cool. And they recognize that. They were like, that isn't cool. Let's take it down. But as people pointed out in Casey's story, also outside of this list, is if you're talking about things like compensation on the site, you know, if your compensation is basically built on tenure there and everybody who's there is white and male because, you know, they're just tackling diversity issues, then you have to talk about these things as part of business. And maybe it's something about focus groups that you're trying to, you know, it features in software, like Black people really hate something about our software. I don't know. I'm just making things up. You know, you have to be able to talk about that. And I think the big uproar, and I think what's hard and what we're going to be dealing with for decades to come, and I think it's going to be painful, but really important, is we have lived forever in a society that is inherently racist, and we don't always recognize those things. And when people point it out to us, it's really uncomfortable because no one wants to be, most of us don't want to be a jerk. And so when you start talking about that in work, some people are going to be uncomfortable. And you can always point out, hey, well, maybe everybody else has been uncomfortable this whole time and they couldn't talk about it. And so now they are, you know, but it's still hard to get your work done and also be made to feel bad. And this is going to be a dynamic that we're going to have to deal with. And Jason basically is saying, we're going to not have these conversations as a way to not deal with it, which I think is reflexively what many people will want to do. But it's not the right thing to do, and it's not going to help us address all of this. And I think this is gathering so much speed because this is a microcosm of literally everything we're having to talk about and go through in America today. And I think that's great, but it is hard. Okay, that was my Stacey gets really sincere.
No, and I think that's a really good point. I think what you're seeing is that Jason and David, who you know, look at the end of the article, it says, and I think this is true, that basically Basecamp exists as Jason and David's kind of basically exists for David and Jason's enjoyment. One employee told me at the end of the day, if they're not interested in seeing things in their work timeline that make them uncomfortable or distracts them from what they're interested in, and this is the culmination of that. And so I understand. I mean, that's kind of how Lisa and I run this company. It's for our enjoyment. a small company, especially, that's kind of not unusual. but you make an excellent point that there has to be somewhere, if people are uncomfortable and there are things going on that make people feel uncomfortable, there has to be somewhere to discuss that.
Here's what Casey wrote. Interviews with a half dozen Basecamp employees over the past day paint a portrait of a company where workers sought to advance Basecamp's commitment to diversity, equity, and inclusion by having sensitive discussions about the company's own failures. After months of fraught conversations, Fried and his co-founder moved to shut those conversations
down. Just cut it off, yeah.
And there was a DEI committee. There was a DEI council that attracted significant support. More than a third of the company, 20 out of 58 employees, volunteered to help. They began examining Basecamp's hiring processes. How Basecamp employees socialize, what speakers they might invent to all remote events and such. But in the aftermath of these discussions, employees began to discuss the list of the customer names. That's when it got uncomfortable, and that's when they shut it off. That's a problem. And to act like this is forward-thinking company, when that's what's happening, that's not transparent, and that's not really dealing with the issues you should deal with. That's my view.
And it's really a shame because people do. Go ahead, Ant.
I do agree with the point that these conversations should be had, and I think it's good to have them in a private HR setting, if you will. But if that doesn't happen, then yeah, that's when you take it to the big board or the general.
Would it be okay if you have to
get heard?
If they said, all right, we're going to set up an area of Basecamp that's for these conversations, but we'd like to segregate that from the area where we're trying to get work done and trying to make this business run, but still have those conversations.
You can't run a business. I think the point you might be thinking about is, can you run a business today without running into, let's say, systemic racism and sexism? And many people would argue that you can't. We think can because we've done it forever.
I understand. So, but I think is probably unproductive and might hurt the business of the business is that there's disagreement. Anytime you're going to have a political discussion among any group of people bigger than five.
It's not politics to say, hey, we should be recognized. I'm sorry. Systemic racism isn't politics.
But understand what the conversation is like. You would say that, which you agree with, and say, and then somebody's going to say, no, you're full of it. And somebody else is going to say, no, you guys are crazy. And then there, you're going to get this battling going on in this message.
So if you talk about it from that, sure. If you say, these conversations come up, like, I'll just tell you, I had a conversation with my editor at IEEE at one point, and I had brought up using smart home products as, people using them for domestic violence, right? As a coercive tool in domestic violence. And that was not the point of the article. The point was something related, but not that. But I focused on that. And he was like, oh, man, they're going to hate this. And I was like, why? These are the kind of things like, so we had this back and forth and he was fine with it. He's like 27 years old. And he's like, of course we should be talking about this. But, the old guard doesn't like it. But
but that's a conversation between you and the editor.
Yes, but
what if you put that in a public group and had 20 other people weighing in on it?
I think that's okay. And you could always have someone say, all right, this is done, moving on.
I think that's kind of what Jason said.
Well, sorry, you can't say this is done forever, moving on, when it's like, you can say, hey, I don't think we're having a productive conversation now. And I think this is a skill people need to learn.
Right. We can have these conversations, but we can choose a different forum for them. Did that come out right?
Yeah.
If we're going to talk about operations, let's talk about operations. If we're going to talk about some issues, let's talk about these issues over here in private, eye to eye, and get this stuff hashed out so we can get back to operations and making money.
Yes.
I also think there's value in doing it in a public forum because it allows people, if you can keep it civil, it allows people to be exposed to other people. Like, I sat in a meeting where the top editors made fun of microaggressions.
See, that's why I say a separate forum, because I've never seen it be civil in a big group. it always devolves into a bunch of finger pointing and misunderstandings. And then it's always out of context because things are written. So you don't know the tone that it's written. So,
yeah, the right way to handle this might be say, look, this is not a forum for this. Let's have a company meeting, get it, bring in a facilitator.
That's fine.
We sit down, let's all discuss this. Facilitator needs to be there. Otherwise, that's the part of the problem with the online forum is there's no facilitator. And we need to hash this out. And yes, you're right. This is an issue we have to address as a company. And we as the owners and managers have to address. But this may not be the perfect forum for it. That would be an appropriate reaction, I think.
Yeah.
To shut it down and say, no, we don't. We're not going to talk about that. That's dysfunctional.
Yeah, that's wrong.
Yeah, that's just that's dysfunctional. Wrong. That's a lot of families, a lot of groups do that. Yeah, we're not going to talk. No. We don't want to talk about it. And that's not going to help an organization of any kind. Maybe this is a little on their part. This is kind of a knee-jerk reaction to, I don't want to hear this anymore. And that's a little dysfunctional. I think maybe you're right. I just feel like I don't know if Casey Newton is going to get the actual I guess somebody has to do this work, but it seems like an internal company matter. Maybe not.
Well, except for Jason Fried is...
Well, until he made a big announcement.
Yeah, well, he just put it on the blog, but he's also someone that literally people look to understand and deal with workplace culture.
That's true. Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
And you
I mean, he's worth profiling for that reason alone.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Yeah. And it's a very outspoken... He's outspoken and the company's outspoken about this stuff. And yeah.
Yeah, it's unlikely that someone would take my internal memos and post them, even if I posted them.
But if Casey
they wouldn't
Newton
be talking
did.
About it because, but no one cares what Stacey Higginbotham is doing on her workforce. So,
it's an interesting story. Yeah. All right, I'll come around and say, my initial reaction might be the same if this kind of stuff happened in our internal Slack at Twit. But I think you're right. If this stuff comes,
I think your point at the end was right.
You have
there's
to address
ways,
it.
Right? But the
if
thing
you're
is,
going
Mr.
to deal
LaPorte,
with it, you should. There are ways to deal with it.
Right.
But that's the thing. I've seen you and Mrs. LaPorte say in meetings, "Hey, let's have a discussion over here."
Yeah.
And that's the right way to handle it. If something comes up, you all have been very blunt about saying, "Come to us and let's talk about this." You know.
Yeah, we're both. I mean, that's part of the problem with in a business is you want to get the job done. Of the business.
And
it's really easy
you.
To get sidetracked on these admittedly important conversations, but to the point where the job stops getting done, then the business is going to collapse. So you got to.
Don't get me wrong. I'm with you on that because I enjoy having my bills paid, you know, but at the same time, if there's a problem, I want us to hash out the problems and I'm bold enough to come to you directly in private, not with any disrespect, to say, hey, this is an issue. Let's address it, please.